The next reader is the managing editor of New Letters. He's the author of two books, Plumbers and Letters from the Living. And he has come all the way from Kansas City to read here this evening. And I don't see him jumping up, so I'm wondering where he's at. Okay. Please welcome Robert Stewart.
All right, this is great. I didn't know you had to get here early to get a seat up front. I know this is a night for rising waters, and I love that, being part of that anthology. I do hope you'll indulge me, though, plugging New Letters magazine. The new issue's just out. It's a special issue called The Writer and Religion, and I'm very proud of it. I think you can find it at Left Bank Books. Start off with a short poem that's not in the Rising Waters anthology, and it's not about the flood. That's the reason, I suppose. It's called To a Turtle. Still, I am slow too, but see that wide road. It's a chance, and a shell has so far been a kind of wing to escape on. My house in Waldo, truck, those have no value in this discussion. I am talking how we move east about 65, and you move north, what, 0.001? Nothing to distract you but a smell of water or the pool of the moon on your back like a dark headlight, you reckless driver. I couldn't swerve in time, my travel buddy. When I lived in St. Louis, which I grew up in St. Louis, when I lived in St. Louis, I was a plumber. In fact, when the flood was here, I came to visit because my family's still here in St. Louis. It was really interesting to drive down to see River De Pere going over its banks, because when I was not a plumber, I was working for the sewer district. And I disassembled and reassembled those stone banks on River De Pere many times. This is a poem I wrote some years ago for my foreman in the sewer district here in St. Louis, called Keeping Up, for Joe, whoever, I don't know where he is now. My foreman with the sewer district took his breaks reading philosophy in the crew shed, told me the ultimate reality on this crew is monistic. You have to keep up. In the shed, you could contemplate Kant. Is metaphysics possible? But on the street, you hang to the jackhammer, break through all the possibilities of pavement without trying to separate great ideas from bad. The reductionism of contemporary oil asphalt to the verification of Descartes and Hobbes, the poured concrete of hard-hearted rationalists, down to the cobblestone of romantic St. Louis, when kids at Bellevue School used to recite the Intimations Ode and the stages of their lives shed each visionary gleam, broke in blocks red as the day my immigrant uncle helped lay them, across to Bolivar, past the Italian groceries, in the days when I was yet an unborn soul. Joe said, cut and crumb that hole till the top of your head grows dark, and each shovelful comes steadily as premises of life you simply count on. You'll find yourself standing in the deepest thought you need. Now dig. A couple of poems from the anthology Rising Waters. You might remember, I don't know if you heard on the news, but on the Kaw River north and west of Kansas City, the river took the cemetery of a small town up there, causing quite a bit of distress as the caskets began taking off down the river. This poem is about that. It's called Coming Up on the River. It crests and crests again. On the news, it's called great. Fin-footed boys swim to treetops, holding like giraffes to succulent stems. They come between air and a low moon. It crests and crests again. Up on the Kaw, 10 generations of farm people float out of the soil looking for love, an old feeling back in the toes. Go ahead, make your sorties into the current of all souls. A storm is driving us too. We don't know anymore who has come up and who has stayed put, whose bones are sealed in faith we laid among the roots, whose arms, who will take us now. Moonlight drops its leaves upon the ocean. Oh, soft earth, each canister contains a cemetery of kisses, and still it rains. And this is the first poem I wrote about the flood, and these are the only two poems I've actually written about the flood. I wouldn't have written them if Walter and Bob wouldn't have sent me the invitation to submit. I didn't think that I actually could write a poem because I do live a little bit on high ground, fortunately, and wasn't directly affected by it. But driving back to St. Louis one day, after the flood had receded, I drove across the Missouri bottom area that had been underwater and was profoundly moved, actually, by the way the landscape had been altered, and wrote this poem. It's called Levees. I drive beside the old levees after they have sucked back all the water through their dumb mouths. You will never believe this. I am driving across the bottom of a lake. A Ford dealership sunk here years ago. Snakes that cannot live without fire follow as if I know where fire is. This lake is a story of mud and grief. All the missing voices are fish echoing in the sun. Everything we could not know has happened here. The sun's glint stops at the edge of this world. My father could make a diving bell from a light bulb. He tried over and over to show me. It would take me down and raise me up as a child of the imagination. Now I stare up at levees as if at a fire, my skin crawling hot and cold, and try to see things as they are. A hill is a levee and a bag of trash. The word later is a levee, the sound of a corn cob pulled from a jug. All levees stand a while, a shaker of salt like a kiss from the sea and a copper worm. The small ancient ship of hope is a levee, you see out the side window when above and below were not yet formed. Even a stalk of corn is a levee. It holds back so much water. And one more poem. I spent actually much of the summer in which the flood happened in Miami. And this poem comes from there. When I think of this poem, I think of the flood because I remember reading about it all the time. But it isn't actually about the flood. It's called it's also embarrassingly topical because now that Haiti has been in the news so much, I was almost embarrassed to read it because it sounds topical, but I really was written some time ago. It's called Baptiste Bakery. It has been 2 years since I learned there was a bakery in Little Haiti, Miami, and don't go there. I love all bakeries that do their own baking. So the 62 bus deposits me now in 102 degree heat with an address by heart. On Northeast 2nd Street, there is only to beat on the door, to ask if the daily bread were being made still, or has the condition of fasting taken hold of us. A shadowy man behind the screen does not rise. A woman inside her small window of bars looks at my white face as if I were a bird far off its migratory route, doomed but curious. and I see what look like huge cookies behind her. No, she says, no cookies. The sweet Creole in her English wounding, for they are there, huge white cookies. I cannot stop staring at them. I have, she says, coconut bread, a stress on the bread, and for 35 cents hands me her own made loaf and does smile as I fumble for change, as if each meal were a drunken affair, and we have only to plunder the rich of their ships to declare this day for the damp earth's precious blood. At Notre Dame de Haiti School at Northeast 62nd Street, they are praying for the souls of 12 young men in Morne à Bateau. Last night, only their shoes were found. And here, I am eating the coconut bread that maybe was meant for one of them. At Librairie Mapo, I am reading their newspapers, drinking their papaya juice. And at St. Andre's record shop, listening to Coupe Cloué, whom I cannot buy, who has been taken away like the white human dust of the soul on the faces of young Haitian men that follow me as I clutch my small bag of half-eaten coconut bread, as if to show them, I have the bread, I have the bread in this white bag. Thank you.